केशवद्रीत वामन रूपा जय जगदीश हरि। Today we are singing a beautiful prayer which is offered in great devotion by that great Vaishnava Acharya Srila Jayadev Goswami. Jayadev Goswami is very famous for his beautiful glorification of the Vrindavan Leela of Sri Sri Radha Govindaji, entitled Gita Govinda. In the introduction to the Gita Govinda, Srila Jayadev Goswami offers his prayers to the ten principal incarnations of the Lord. It is called the Sri Dash Avatar Stotra. Today, it is the divine appearance day of one of these great incarnations of Godhead, Sri Vamanadev. This story is in great detail found in the Srimad Bhagavatam. It is a very long story, but today I would like to, in summary, explain some of the highlights of this wonderful narration. We know how at one time, because the demons became very powerful, the demigods approached Lord Narayan, explaining how the asuras had taken away all of their possessions. At that time, the Supreme Lord Narayan instructed the demigods to make truce with the demons under the pretense that together they would churn the ocean of milk. Through the process of churning the ocean of milk, nectar would be created. And he assured the demigods that they would gain that nectar. Anyone who drinks this amrit will become very powerful and unconquerable. So this is a long story of how the ocean of milk was churned. And alas, when the nectar came out, being held by the divine hands of Danvantari, that great avatar of Vishnu, the demons, who were more powerful than the demigods at the time, they grasped the pot of nectar from Danvantari. And of course, although demons can oftentimes make policies to unite with one another, ultimately they are all envious of one another. And they are all fearful of one another. So the demons could not decide who would drink the nectar first, so they were all fighting amongst themselves. At that time, the demigods felt themselves in a hopeless situation. So again, they appealed to Lord Narayan, that what are we to do? Now the demons, the asuras, are already more powerful than us. If they drink this nectar, we'll be endlessly hopeless. So Lord Narayan assumed the beautiful form of Mohini Murti. In this form, she was so beautiful that the demons were completely captivated by her attractive features. They could not control their minds or their senses. So ultimately, with a desire to please her, because she was glancing at each demon in such a way that I am only attracted to you, they all agreed that let us give the nectar to you, and whoever you decide, you should give it to that person. Now every demon was thinking that she will naturally give it to me because she's looking at me with such love in her eyes. Mohini Murti took the nectar and gave it to all the demigods. The demons became very much disturbed by this, and then Mohini Murti assumed her original form of Narayan and went away. And the demons realized that they had been cheated by God. So then there was a great war. But because the demigods had just drunk the nectar, they defeated the demons very easily. And they killed most all of them. Even the leader of the demons, who at that time was the great Bali Maharaj, he was even defeated. But Shukracharya, who was the master of the demons, he is what you may call a spiritual master. There are different types of spiritual masters. But he performed a great sacrifice in which he brought all of the demons back to life. He repaired their limbs and brought them back to life. And then he instructed Bali Maharaj that if you want to become very powerful, you have to perform a great sacrifice to please the Brahmins. If the Brahmins are pleased, you attain what is called Brahma Tejas, the power of the Brahmins. Then you become unconquerable. So Bali Maharaj performed this great, great sacrifice. And in the performance of this sacrifice, he became invincible. His limbs became like steel. He had such power and such potency that he assembled a vast, vast army of millions and millions and millions, countless asuras. And they all marched upon the abode of Indra, the king of heaven. When Indra looked out of from his palace and he saw these multitudes of demons headed by Bali Maharaj, who was effulgent like millions of suns, Indra became very frightened. And he turned to Brihaspati. And he said, "Brihaspati, how am I possibly going to counteract this great attack by Bali Maharaj? Look at his forces. His whole body alone looks like it can conquer all the 14 worlds. Brihaspati said that Bali Maharaj has pleased the descendants of Bhrigu. He has satisfied his guru, Shukracharya, and the Brahmins. Therefore, you have no power to defend yourself against him." You see, even the greatest asuras, they know that their power comes by giving pleasure to higher powers. We find this throughout history. Hiranyakashipu, by pleasing Lord Brahma, he attained great power. Ravana, by pleasing Brahma and Shankar, he attained great power. And of course, the greatest power is the power from the sages and the Brahmins. So Brihaspati, knowing well this great science, he told Indra, "The best thing you can do is run away and hide. It is only when the Supreme Personality of Godhead favors you can you ever gain your property back. Until then, just be patient." So Indra and all the other demigods went into hiding. And Bali Maharaj simply marched into the city of Indra and marched into all the planets of the devatas and became the king of the universe. Now you know the mother of Bali Maharaj is Diti. And the mother of Indra is Aditi. They are both sisters. Not sisters, yeah. But they are both the wives of Kashyapa Muni. So Kashyapa Muni, after doing his tapasya, came back to his hermitage one day, and he saw his beautiful wife Aditi. Her face was pale white. She was lean and thin. She looked like she was in such a sad state of lamentation. And Kashyapa Muni, being a very protective and honest husband, He was feeling great compassion and sympathy for her. So he began to inquire, "What is it that has caused you such distress?" And she explained that, "My children, the demigods, I cannot see them anymore. They are all hiding somewhere, and they are in a homeless and poverty-stricken state. How can I be satisfied in my life when my children are in such a condition?" So she requested Kashyapa Muni to find some answer by which the demigods could again regain their abodes. So Kashyapa Muni began to contemplate. And he explained to Aditi, his wife, that it is only by the mercy of the Lord that great things are done in this world. With the mercy of God, there is no power that can conquer us. From the material point of view, Brahma Tejas is the most powerful force there is. But even when everything materially is against us, we should never feel hopeless, because by the grace of God, nothing is impossible. Vishnu Shakti, the power of the Lord, is supreme. So Kashyapa told his wife that you perform what is called the Payavrata sacrifice. By performing this Payavrata, you will gain the mercy of Lord Narayan, and then all of your desires will be fulfilled. This was a sacrifice that was to last 12 days, where she fasted only on milk, and she worshipped the Lord Narayan by chanting his holy names and by worshipping his beautiful form. At the end of that 12 days, the Supreme Lord of Vaikuntha, Sri Vishnu, appeared to her in his most splendid form, with four arms, decorated with the conch shell, the disc, the club, and the lotus flower. He had a beautiful blackish complexion, lotus eyes, a wonderful golden crown, and the Kastuba Mani jewel hanging from his most munificent chest. Upon seeing the beautiful form of the Lord, Aditi worshipped it with great devotion. And then the Lord, knowing her desire, promised that he would personally take birth within her womb. And by his own divine mercy, fulfill all of her desires. So at that time, the Supreme Lord entered into the body of Kashyapa Muni. And Kashyapa, who was in a state of samadhi, could feel the presence of God within himself. And then he united with Aditi. And through the process, he transferred the Lord's presence into her womb. And she became most effulgent, most beautiful, because she became the very abode of God. After a short time, from the womb, the Lord appeared outside of her womb, again in his beautiful form as the four-armed Narayan. And there he explained that he had come to fulfill all of their desires. Kashyapa and Aditi offered their prostrated obeisances. And then the Lord, right before their eyes, transformed his form into that of a very beautiful golden-colored dwarf. This auspicious lila took place on the Shravana Dwadasi, which is the day we are celebrating today. When Lord Vamanadeva appeared, all the devatas and all the great saints and sages, they came to that place and they began to offer beautiful gifts and praises to the Lord. And then Lord Vamanadeva, in his form, of a beautiful Brahmin dwarf began the natural occupation of a Brahmin, which is to beg alms. So he went to the place of Bali Maharaj, who was then engaged in another sacrifice. He came to the door of Bali Maharaj with his begging bowl, and Bali answered, "Ah, you are a Brahmin. I am always charitable to the Brahmins. How may I serve you? Ask anything you like. I am the controller of the universe. I will fulfill all of your desires." Vamanadeva, he said, "My dear Bali, I require only 3 steps of land from you." Bali Maharaj was somewhat insulted by this request. After all, he performed such tremendous tapasya and sacrifice just for the prestige of conquering the entire universe. And when someone comes to such a prestigious person and asks for something very small, it is like an insult. Bali Maharaj said, "Why are you asking for 3 steps of land? And you are a dwarf. Dwarf means very small. Your steps are not even those of a child. If you like, I can give you a beautiful palace, a most wonderful family. If you want, I can give you riches of the King of Heaven, Indra. I can give you your own planet. I am the controller of all the material facilities within the entire universe. Anything you want is yours. Just ask me." Why you are asking for such a crazy small request, just 3 steps? At that time, Vamanadeva spoke. He said, "Bali Maharaj, you are a great fool. Because you do not understand that happiness comes from within. And if you are not finding happiness within, you will not be happy under any condition of life." He said, "I have found peace within myself. Therefore, whether I have nothing, whether I have 3 steps, or whether I control the whole universe, I'm satisfied. But foolish people like you, who have not found the real wealth of happiness within themselves, there is no arrangement within this entire creation that could make them satisfied. You have conquered the entire universe and still you want more. Still you are dissatisfied." Krishna says in Gita that lust, material desire, is like fire. It's insatiable. The more you feed it, the hungrier it becomes. Vamanadeva is instructing all of us the utter futility of trying to find happiness through the senses and their objects, through any position in this world. And yet people are so crazy and foolish that they spend their entire lives under the illusion of Maya, simply trying to find some happiness by bigger name and fame, by more money, by more sense enjoyment. But ultimately, as Govinda Das has prayed in his beautiful song, "Edana jovana putra parijana ite ki ache paraditi re kamala dala jala jivana talamala Bhajahul Haripada Nitire." My whole life I have served my family, my society, striving for more and more wealth, more and more prestige in this world. And now at the end of my life, all I have to show for it is frustration and anxiety. This world is Dukalayam Ashashvatam. It is a place of misery. because everything is temporary. And the greatest insanity is that people are trying to find happiness in a place of misery. The more you become attached to something, the more you must suffer when it is taken away, and it will be taken away. And even when you have it, you're never satisfied. You're always desiring something else. Hankering and lamenting. This is the business of the mind in this material world. Hankering for what you want and then lamenting for what you lose. And in the interim period, when you have it, you're usually fearful because you know someday it's going to be lost. We see even the greatest persons, just like in America, athletics is very popular in America. So there was one man who recently, baseball is the most popular sport in America for the last 100 years. This one man broke the most difficult record to break in all of baseball. The record was originally made in 1932 or something, and no one has been able to come close to it. This man broke the record. He became the national hero of America. He became so famous. He was the front page of every magazine, every newspaper. He was on every talk show in America, on television, on radio. He was the number one most famous man in all of the United States. And then, about 6 months later, they found out that he had, during his career in baseball, he had been gambling. And according to baseball, if you gamble, it's like the worst offense, because you're betting on teams and you're playing. That means maybe you're losing on purpose and all these other things. So what happens when they found out he was gambling, it became such big news that it was the front page of every newspaper, every magazine. It was the biggest news in America that this man is a cheater and a rascal. He's been gambling. And he was brought to court and he was put in jail. And now his very name makes people think, just see what he's done. First, all our children made him a hero, and then he's completely perverted the whole sportsman image. So he became the most unpopular within 6 months of being the most popular. Ronald Reagan, he was the most popular president in the last so many decades. And then all of a sudden this Iran-Contra came up and he became the most unpopular president. So this is the nature of fame and name in this material world. Chanchalam. Lakshmi Devi, she is the proprietor of wealth, name, fame. Chanchalam means she's very flickering and very unsteady. One day she's with you, one day she's with somebody else. You cannot hold on to these things, no matter how hard you try, beyond your power. It is the nature of the world. Trying to hold on to your position or your wealth or your fame is like trying to hold on to sand in the desert. No matter how, the harder you squeeze, the faster it slips through your fingers. But it will slip through your fingers. Ramanadev was explaining to Bali Maharaj that you think you're so great that you conquered Indra, that you conquered the entire universe, that you are the wealthiest, most powerful, and most famous man anywhere around, and you think that I am coming as a beggar because I need something from you. As far as I'm concerned, you are nothing. If you do not have self-realization and peace of mind and love of God, you are in poverty. So just give me 3 steps of land, I'll be satisfied. So Bali Maharaj said, yes, yes. Then you take your 3 steps, your tiny little steps. At that time, Shukracharya, who was the spiritual master of Bali Maharaj, he could figure out what was happening, that this is Vishnu and he's coming to cheat us. So he told Bali, do not give him anything. He's Narayan. He will cheat you. He will take everything away. I guarantee. I'm your guru. It's my order. Do not give him. And Bali Maharaj began to think, what? He began to think, contemplate. First of all, this is a brahmachari. And Bali Maharaj was thinking, if the grihasthas do not properly respect and serve the brahmacharis, they will lose everything. They have no dignity, no integrity. Even with all their wealth and power, if they lose their dignity and their integrity, it's all useless, even from the material point of view. And he's come to me, he's a Brahmin, he's a brahmachari. And if he really is Vishnu, then everything already belongs to him anyway. So who am I to say no? Shukracharya, he was motivated. Because, you know, some so-called gurus, they are attracted to the wealth of their disciples. So Shukracharya was thinking that if you're poor, I become poor also. So therefore, you must obey me. Do not give him anything. No obligation to give him. And Shukracharya began to recite so many rules and regulations of the Vedas, which justified Bali Maharaj to take back his promise from Vamanadeva. And then Bali Maharaj, he said, Shukracharya, the guru is supposed to tell you to surrender to Vishnu, and you're telling me not to surrender to Vishnu. Therefore, you're a bogus guru. I reject you. And then Shukracharya became very angry, and he said, then I curse you, will lose everything. And Bali Maharaj just let him go. And then Bali turned to Vamana and said, now you take your three steps. At that time, Lord Vamanadeva began to expand larger and larger and larger and larger in size until his body was so big that nobody could see the beginning or the end of it. And with his first step, he covered all the lower and middle planetary systems. Within second step, he covered the entire upper planetary system and he reached the very end of the universe. At that time, his foot touched the very covering of the universe, which is the border which the universes are all flowing in, the Garbhodak ocean, or the causal ocean, which is the perspiration of Karanadaksha Yoga. It's actually the Karanadak ocean. It's the perspiration of Vishnu himself. And when he pierced the covering of the universe, the causal ocean began to leak into the universe. That was the holy river Ganges. And the first thing it did after it leaked is it fell on the feet of Vamanadeva and washed his lotus feet. Therefore, the Ganges is considered not only to be directly the perspiration of Vishnu, but it is the water that had directly washed the feet of the Supreme Lord Vamanadeva. Therefore, every drop of Ganges water is Charanamrit, the holy foot wash of the Lord. So then, Vamanadeva came back and reduced to his size of a dwarf. And he looked at Bali Maharaj and said, you promised me three steps of land. With my two steps, I've covered everything you own. Therefore, you owe me one step. Where should I put it? You are a thief. You deserve to be punished. Because at this time, Vamanadeva, he was now the Lord of the universe. He took Bali's position. And Garuda, understanding the mind of Vamanadeva, took the snake of Varuna, which became like a rope, and he tied it around Bali Maharaj and arrested him and brought him to court. And there it was explained that you are a thief, you are a criminal, you are dishonest, you are a liar. You promised me three steps, Where will the other step go? Pali Maharaj was very humble. He began to offer his prayers to the Lord. At that time, Prahlad Maharaj, who was the great-grandfather of Bali, actually the grandfather, Prahlad Maharaj's son was Virochana, and Virochana's son was Bali. So Prahlad, his grandfather, began to explain to Bali Maharaj that you are very, very lucky that all these material possessions, they are all like such a burden upon you. But Vishnu has liberated you from all of them. And now you have the chance to surrender totally at his lotus feet. Therefore, I consider you most fortunate. And then his own wife, Vindhyavali, she also began to praise the good fortune of Bali Maharaj. Vamanadeva explained to Bali that I have taken everything away from you, but I will give you one planet. It is in the lower planets, but it's higher than the heavenly planets. It is called Sutala. But still, you have not told me where to put my third step. At that time, Bali Maharaj, he exhibited the highest principle of surrender. There are 9 processes of devotional service. Sravana kirtana smarana bandana pada sevana dasire pujana sakijana atma nivedana. The culmination of all the 9 processes of devotional service is atma nivedana, which means to surrender everything to the Lord. And Bali Maharaj is considered to be the topmost example of this devotion. He said, "My Lord, please take your lotus foot and place it on top of my head. I surrender to you." At that time, the Lord bestowed Bali Maharaj with the greatest benediction by placing his lotus foot upon his head. And Bali Maharaj thus attained the supreme perfection of life. Whatever you have, it is Krishna's. Surrender means to simply accept the truth. To not surrender means to live a lie. The truth is that Krishna is the proprietor of everything. He is the creator, preserver, and annihilator of everything that exists. To think that anything is ours, whether it be our body, our intelligence, our strength, our wealth, our reputation, is the greatest illusion. But to accept that everything is meant for the pleasure of God, everything is meant for His service, that is truth. So Bali Maharaj accepted the supreme truth and he surrendered everything to the Lord. Of course, from the material point of view, it appears that there's a great risk when you surrender to the Lord. But one must have faith. The basis of bhakti is faith. Without faith, there is no meaning to our spirituality. Sometimes people are attracted to mysticism. But actually, as long as we're depending on those things, we are never strongly founded within faith in God. Faith in God means faith in His words. So therefore, in surrendering to the Lord, there is always materially a great risk. But if one has faith, then there's no risk at all. One must be willing to make this leap of faith in order to make advancement in spiritual life. Bali Maharaj risked losing everything, but he had faith that God is good. And therefore, in return, Bali Maharaj was given a planet, Sutala, which was higher, it was actually higher than a heavenly planet. It was like a spiritual planet. And there the Lord himself appeared as his doorman to protect his abode. Because Bali Maharaj surrendered everything to Vishnu, Vishnu became his servant, accepting the menial position of his doorman. Although Krishna is the proprietor, the enjoyer, and the master of everything, for one who surrenders to Krishna, Krishna becomes subordinate to that love. One who is willing to be the slave of God, utterly, unconditionally, only such a person does the Lord become the servant of that love. Spiritual life is slavery. Everything for you, nothing for me. Huh? And I have faith that you are good and that your love is perfect. Therefore, I have nothing to fear in surrendering everything. And as long as we're considering things by our material calculations, that if I give this much to Krishna, then I'll only have this much left. What kind of nonsense is that? It's already Krishna's. What is it? Who are you to give or take? It's like me going into the State Bank of India and saying, well, I think I will give you a loan for $1,000 out of this vault here. Huh? Does that make sense? It's crazy. It makes better sense than what we're doing here in this world. We're saying, Krishna, I will donate this much to you. I will loan this much to you. I'm very kind. It's his. Everything is his. That is the truth. Krishna says, sarva dharmam parityajya mam ekam sharanam vraja aham tvam sarva papibhyo moksha ishami masucha. Abandon all varieties of religion, just surrender. I shall relieve you from all sinful reactions, do not fear. This is the word of God. If we surrender, we should not fear. But how much are we fearful? We're afraid, if I surrender, what will my parents think? Oh my God, they might think that I'm not normal. And what will my friends think? They will think, my God, he's gone crazy. And what will my business associates think? They will think, oh my God, who is this crazy fellow? Huh? Becoming Hare Krishna, surrendering to Krishna. The whole society will think, Madhavendra Puri, he made a prayer like this. He said, my dear Lord Shyam Sundar, he said, since I am surrendering to you, my family has rejected me as being a crazy person. The society, my friends, they've all just written me off as something that's just beyond hope. The whole world is against me now, my Lord, but I do not care, because I know if you are pleased, that is the only truth in life. Let them say what they want. So yes, if you surrender to Krishna, there is great risk materially. Many people will think that this person, he's just so insecure, he's taking some crutch of the name of religion because he can't make it in the world and be successful like me. Right? That's the modern day interpretation of someone who becomes religious. That if you're actually really a strong, successful man, you don't need God. And if you do, you just perform some rituals, you go once a week, that's all that's required, that's all the society asks for. Who cares what God asks for? That's what the society asks for. And God, he knows. He knows I'm great. He won't interfere too much. Huh? And therefore, when someone takes to religion, such a person thinks, it's because he's weak. It's because he can't make it in the world. He has to take shelter of some God. So if you surrender to Krishna, to the degree you surrender, to that degree such materialistic persons are going to condemn you in such a way. What to speak? If you give money, people will think you're crazy, you're giving your money. What will you have left? Surrender means everything, your name, your fame. The gopis of Vrindavan, they gave up their homes, their families, their fame, even their distinction as being religious women, even their chastity. Because Krishna called them. They understood that everything belongs to Krishna. Therefore, the gopis personified the ultimate renunciation. Krishna, whatever you desire, let your will be done. They had faith. Rupa Goswami explains that this is the basis of a devotee's thinking. That whatever I give to you, Krishna, I will not be the loser, but I will gain hundreds and millions and thousands of times more. Because your one drop of your mercy is more valuable than everything in this creation multiplied by millions and millions of times. Because everything in this creation will vanish today or tomorrow. But one drop of your mercy is like eternal nectar that will give me life, that will give me bliss, that will give me inner treasures of wealth. Forever. Huh? So Bali Maharaj, he surrendered everything willingly with that faith that Krishna is good. And he was a demon. But because even though he was born in a family of asuras, because he surrendered to the Lord, he became one of the 12 Mahajans, one of the 12 greatest authorities of spiritual life. So it does not... And you know what his associates were thinking? Maha. Can you imagine? Bali Maharaj, his own guru rejected him, and all of the demons who were around him, the ministers, the associates, they were all terribly horrified by his decision. You're going to surrender. He was in the face of tremendous social pressure. He was in the face of losing everything he worked so hard for in his life, materially. But he had faith. And in the end, he became so great that Vamanadeva, Vishnu himself, became his servant. The Lord is captured by the love of his devotee. When we go back to Goloka Vrindavan, the Lord greets us with a warm embrace, and he begins to, with tears of love in his eyes, he begins to extol his appreciation. That in order for you to come here from the material world, you had to endure insults. You had to give up what was most precious to you. You had to undergo many, many trials, tribulations, tests, and hardships, and you underwent them all for my sake. Do not think that it was unnoticed. From within your heart, I was watching every moment. And you have conquered me by your love, by your sacrifice, by your surrender. And now I have brought you back to your natural position of Goloka Vrindavan. Now we will enjoy our divine Leela together eternally. That is the price of Krishna consciousness. The price of Krishna consciousness, pure devotional service, is complete faith. That Krishna is the supreme proprietor of everything. That everything is meant for his enjoyment. And that he is my best well-wishing friend in all circumstances of life. Bhoktaram jagatapasam sarvaloka maheshwaram suhridam sarvabhutanam gyatvamantram timrichchati. And as my best well-wishing friend, whatever he does is perfect. And if I simply surrender to him at every stage of life, I have nothing to fear. He will protect, He will maintain, He will uplift me. And of course, Krishna explains in Gita, Tadvidi pranipatena pariprasnena sevaya upadekshanti te jnanam jnaninastrati darshan. That we surrender to Krishna in this earth by surrendering to His divine representative, the spiritual master, and by surrendering to those great sadhus who are acting exclusively on His behalf. And all the scriptures and all the prophets, faith in the supreme, benevolent, merciful position of Krishna, and faith in His divine representatives. So this most beautiful story of Vamanadeva is most instructive, because it teaches us how even a man surrounded by demons and asuras, even a man who out of great aspiration for wealth and position performed tremendous tapasya to gain the whole earth, all the planets in fact, even such a person attained instant liberation and the highest platform of eternal pleasure in the heart of God by surrendering everything. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, He is that same Vamana avatar, that same Supreme Personality of Godhead. The Lord appears according to Simon's circumstance in different forms to fulfill His mission of establishing pure devotional service on earth. Lord Chaitanya has given us such a merciful and beautiful opportunity that what was available to Bali Maharaj is available to every living being in the human form of life in this age of Kali Yuga, if they simply surrender to the process of chanting the name of God. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram. But of course, for our chanting to have real effect, we have to have this proper service attitude. We have to chant the name of God in a spirit that I am the menial servant of the name of the Lord and the devotees of the Lord. And then the Lord will appear in His most munificent opulence within His name. And by gradually becoming purified through service to the devotees and through chanting the name of God, gradually our faith develops. It becomes stronger and stronger and stronger. And as our faith develops, naturally our aspiration is to surrender more and more and more, without fear, but with great hope and confidence in the love of God. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.